Hello and welcome to GCSE ICT Podcasts, brought to you by Chris Coleman at Conyers School. On today's show, we're going to be looking at emerging and developing technologies, how they can be used in different places, and how they're used today. It is really important, not just for the exam, but for a well-rounded IT professional, to understand the current technologies which are being discussed today. Some of them are developing, some of them you'll be aware of. Let's look at the first one then, social networking. You're all probably familiar with social networking and what they are. It's basically a website. It doesn't have to be a website, but it's an area where people go to meet friends, to meet other people, and share common interests. And they do that using Web 2 technologies. That can be messaging, it can be blogging, it can be sharing pictures, sharing videos, playing games together in one place. The socially networking, in other words, talking to other people, meeting new people, networking in an online way. Examples of that include Facebook, include MySpace, include Conyers Talkspace. And they're different examples of ways people communicate together. They're really useful for keeping in touch with friends and families across the globe, even on mobile devices like mobile phones, smartphones, things like that. They're really useful, used by companies as well, to find out what people think about different things, or to advertise products, or people to express their opinions, to join groups, to find people with similar interests. Really popular, and they're growing every single day. Then you've got things like interactive services. So if you think about maybe Sky Digital, for example, they've got lots of interactive services, things like games. You can shop through your television. You can interact with the TV, maybe take part in a game show using your remote control. You can play the lottery, do your online banking, or even get a diagnosis from NHS Direct. Just simple advice through your television set. And that's growing and growing every single year. Different services are becoming available. One of the most popular examples is Sky News' interactive service. You can watch 8 different screens at once, pick which news one you want to listen to, and that screen will come up. That means you're not constrained just to one bit of news that's getting broadcast. You can pick the areas that are suited to you. And they're growing and growing. People are having more control over television and what they want to watch. On-demand services. One of the most popular ones not on Sky is BBC iPlayer. Interactive service now available on Virgin Media, for example. You can basically connect to the BBC iPlayer and watch any programme that's been broadcast on the BBC over the last 7 days. That gives you control for you what you want to watch instead of set time limits that you have to watch things on. Fantastic stuff. Really, really cool new technology. Take it even further then. Think about smart homes, really intelligent homes. And there is a massive amount of technology you can have in smart homes. Digital walls, for example, so you can type in maybe what wallpaper you want. You can download an image from the internet and say, right, I want that wallpaper in the master bedroom on the back wall, and it would put it on digitally. Digital walls, amazing stuff. Imagine that. Imagine everything that control from one control panel when you walk into your house. You can turn all the lights up and down. You can turn the heating on, turn the alarm system on, all one central place. You can go to maybe to work, and then at work you can text your kettle and say start boiling at 4 o'clock, and it'll make sure there's water in there, and it'll make sure it's all boiled for when you get there. All sorts of possibilities. Self-lighting, mirrors, stuff that calculate maybe your BMI index, that can give you different opinions of your hair in different style. Self-cleaning carpet systems, fridges with chip and pin built into them. Online shopping automatically does all your shopping for you. Lights that go on and off, you know, when you need them to. Absolutely outstanding. The possibilities are just amazing. Then you've got contactless technology, which is becoming more and more popular. Heard of people having to hand over money or insert a card and type in a PIN number or swipe and sign? None of that anymore. You might decide just to rub your phone over a special magnetic panel, which then processes your account and pays for your shopping for you. Imagine if you just rub your card over a panel and pay for your shopping as well, in the same way, or when you go to a concert and you pay for a ticket using the same technology. London use it for the underground, the Oyster service, and that you just rub a card over a panel and it gets you on the underground. Superb stuff. It's faster, more efficient. You have to remember PIN numbers. There are issues there, though, in terms of, well, what if someone steals your phone and that kind of stuff as well. But it does speed things up. And of course, as a predecessor to that, you've currently got chip and PIN. Really secure way of paying at the moment. Go up a shop, pop in your card, enter in your PIN number, and you've bought something. And that connects to your bank directly and does everything for you. Gone are the days where you have to stand there, swipe your card, wait for a piece of paper to print, then sign it, and then check your signature. But then anyone could fake your signature, really. It is a little bit more secure, and it's a little bit faster now as well. And it's more universally accepted. The downside is, though, it's not really available online. So people can still steal your card. You've still got that bit of plastic that someone can steal. And I think that's the weakness of current payment technologies. One revolutionary technology, which is very widely used in parcel tracking at the moment, is RFID. Radio Frequency Identifier. Sounds a bit posh, but it replaces barcode. It's a small, really small chip that's self-powered when there's a magnetic field near it. It just keeps information on it. That can be things like, the price of an item, the expiry date, where it was purchased from, how much it costs, the size of it, required dietary requirements. Everything can be stored on this little chip. And you can put all those information here, you put all that into your trolley, you go around, you come to the checkout, the checkout just says, right, that's £50, please. Because it can scan all those microchips and tell you how much it comes to. Really handy for stock control. Imagine it from a shop's point of view. They don't have to go and count everything to work out, you know, how much stock they've got in the shop. They can just go around with a machine and that can read all the chips, the RFID chips on everything, and let you know how many there is of them. Other thing is obviously parcel tracking as well with RFID. You can work out where that is in anywhere in the country. Parcels with RFID on, superb. Take it a step further though. Imagine an RFID refrigeration system which has been trialled. You think about it, you've got all these different items with RFID chips on them, and they're all in your fridge. Say it's milk or whatever. And when you're running out of milk, or the milk's about to go off, which is probably more accurately, the microchip's got the expiry date of the milk on it. The fridge will scan the items regularly, read the chips, but it'll say, oh, I'm running out of milk. What do I do? So then the fridge automatically connects to an online shopping service like Tesco or Marks & Spencer or wherever, and then it says, right, I need milk, I need eggs, I need butter, all different things that I'm running out of, please reorder them. It reorders them, takes the money out of your account, and they arrive on your doorstep an hour later. How fantastic would that be? That's taking RFID that little bit further. Then you've got smartphones. Well, that's a buzzword at the moment, everyone's saying smartphone. But really, how many people fully understand what they are? A while ago now, and it still exists now, we had things like portable computers, personal digital assistants, a PDA, and phones, separate devices, two separate things. The PDA did all your Word, your internet browsing, presentation software, email. That was a PDA's job. Your phone, well, quite simply, it rang and it texted people. That was it. They've come together now to create one device. Instead of carrying out two different devices, you have a phone, and that phone can do all the normal things like word processing, presentation, internet, email of a PDA. It can also do all the phone things as well, and more. And examples of smartphones are things like Windows mobile devices by O2. You've got some by Nokia, and probably the most common one nowadays, or the most popular one, is Apple's iPhone. Very good technology, fast, I mean, it's one device. More and more people are relying on mobile computing. Less people want to be sat at a desk or at a laptop doing computing. They want to access everything on the go. So these small phones are becoming far more powerful, far more sophisticated, becoming functional. You can do lots of things on them. You can watch TV on them. You can do all sorts on them. Absolutely superb. You don't need a computer, or it's going that way that you will not need a computer. Then you've got two other technologies. The first one is blogging. People tend to like that. It's writing stories, statements, like an online diary, writing about certain things that have happened on a blog online, and different people can read that. It's basically just writing like an article on the internet, publishing it, and you can invite people to read it. People can post comments on it. People can be informed of updates when you added stuff to your blog. It can be like something they can follow you about. So it's quite a clever technology, but you've got to be careful with privacy settings there. Then you've got wikis. Well, wikis are similar to blogs in that you can write whatever in a blog and it can be anything you like. then you can either grant people access to make changes, or you can make it public so anyone could make changes to it. So in effect, you've got lots of different people collaborating on the same thing. People can work on an article, they can make changes. It's shared information. And probably the most popular one that you're used to hearing about in terms of wikis is Wikipedia, where anyone can post information, share comments, and people can make comments on it, change information if they think it's inaccurate. However, if they're inaccurate, then how do you know who's right? So there are problems over the validity of it and just how authentic some wikis can be. But they are useful for sharing knowledge. It's a very powerful way of different people all sharing knowledge together. And finally, not a new technology, but growing in use, biometrics. So different ways of keeping your computer secure, because passwords and that kind of security are becoming less secure now as computers develop. So you've got things like fingerprint recognition, iris recognition, voice recognition. You know, even you can go as far as saying DNA recognition if you want to. You know, really advanced stuff that lets people gain access to a computer, because iris, fingerprint, voice, they're all unique to you, and that makes the computer system unbelievably secure. They get used more and more by banks, by security agencies, by places where security of information is really, really important. There are massive amounts of new technologies out there. Knowing the fact that by the end of this podcast, all that technology is probably out of date, or you're probably actually used to all this technology. That's how fast we're actually growing. Most technologies have been around a long time. And I could spend hours talking to you about new technology, which I'm sure you would love. But I'm not going to. What I do recommend is that those are some of them you might want to talk about in the exam, but only talk about them if you feel comfortable with answering questions around them, and that you feel as though they're the right kind of answer for the question being asked. If you want to look more about new technologies, there are lots of places out there. BBC Click on a Saturday and Sunday on BBC News is one good way of doing it, and online. But there are other services like CNET Technologies and news like Google News, Google Technology News. They are really good for finding out about new technologies. That's it for now. If you'd like more information about our podcast, then please visit www.greattobegeeky.co.uk. That's GR82B, as in the letter B, geeky.co.uk, 2 as in the number 2, by the way. Okay, thank you very much. Goodbye for now.